So the focus of my message this morning is going to be advocacy, endorsement, the way that we extend and share one another's credibility. But before I start in on all of that, I want to say something about the troubling presence of slavery in the gospel. There are a number of occasions during Jesus' ministry where he encounters both slaves and slave owners. But it really is not clear through these interactions what Jesus' opinion was regarding slavery. This is a problem, isn't it? Jesus was outspoken. He was prophetic and radical. And he was not afraid of creating discord in an effort to initiate change. So why wasn't Jesus calling for the liberation of his enslaved brothers and sisters? It's troubling to me that Jesus refers to a slave's obedience to his master as an example of how we should express our faith to God. I do understand the reference. I mean, I get it. A slave is loyal and obedient. A slave does not question when commanded. A slave belongs to his or her owner. And yes, the centurion who is in this story is a generous and loving slave owner, just as our God would be a generous and loving God. But even so, I don't like the reference. I don't find it appealing at all. Because to me, slavery implies coercion. It assumes that we don't have a choice. And we do have a choice. For all intents and purposes, there may be very little that separates servants from slaves. But free will, choice, that's a remarkably important distinction. And so I choose to view my ministry, my faith, and my devotion to God as a service that I have entered into in God's name, not as an enslavement that I was born into or coerced into. That's all. I've said my piece. Back to the sermon. Okay. So you all heard the sermon, the story this morning about the centurion. But there's an important part of this story that takes place behind the scenes. There's a commissioning of sorts that occurs between the centurion and the Jewish leadership in Capernaum. The centurion has been very generous with his support for the building of a synagogue in the city. And so when he hears that Jesus is coming, he sends his friends, the Jewish elders, to advocate on his behalf. And not only on his behalf, but also on behalf of the centurion's beloved slave who has fallen ill, who is near death. Now, in this story, of course, the centurion is a Gentile. He is a soldier who serves Rome. So what or who could compel Jesus to help him? Advocating on behalf of someone or something is a powerful gesture. And it is a gesture that carries with it a certain amount of risk. Because an advocate is taking a chance. If I speak on your behalf, if I offer you my support, I am risking my own reputation, my own credibility, and my own authority on your behalf. And so it is for this reason that I believe we should take advocating seriously. We shouldn't enter into it without being thoughtful and deliberate. After all, it's our reputations that we are putting on the line. And yet you and I today, We have been commissioned as advocates for others in ways that I'm not sure if we've agreed to. We certainly have not agreed to be advocates for some of these folks after having engaged in thoughtful and deliberate consideration. In fact, I would argue that some of us may not even be aware of the fact that we are advocating for these people. So who is it? Who has commissioned you? Whose name goes before you? Who and what do you endorse? In some ways, this question is defined by how closely we want to look at it. On an entirely superficial level, don't the companies whose products we use commission us? Think about our clothing today. Maybe not the clothing of the people who are here in church right now, but the clothing of our culture. Nike, Adidas, Abercrombie. You can barely find clothing these days that don't have a huge logo or brand right there, right on the chest, or even worse, sometimes on the bottom. Can you think of any athlete today who is competing in professional sports who does not wear the logo of a major company, who has not been commissioned by a major company? Michael Jordan wears Nike. But doesn't Nike kind of wear Michael Jordan? It's confusing. Who is endorsing whom? And so we have now come to a time in our culture when this strange cycle has been created. You wear our sneakers, and if you do, they will make you credible. I will wear your sneakers, and by doing so, I will make them credible. And together we will be incredible, and we will make millions. Are you not commissioned by your job, by your career? How often have you heard this conversation? Hello. Well, hello. It's nice to meet you. So, what do you do? What do you do? Who are you? Who do you represent? Our work, what we do, it says something about our authority, and it says something about where our authority comes from. So who do you work for? And what does that say about you? What does your employment say about your employer? Is there mutual credibility? I hope so. What about our families? I was reminded very, very early on, many, many times, that I was going forth into the world bearing my father's name. Growing up in Glastonbury, Connecticut, I was reminded often of how important it was for my brothers and me to stay out of the police log in the local paper. Please, just stay out of the police log. And after all, it was our family name that was at stake. My family's credibility, perhaps even in some strange way, my family's authority was at stake. So what credibility does your family name bring to you? And what credibility do you bring to your family name? How about our relationship with God, with God's church, with our faith? Are we not commissioned by our faith? Have we been given credibility and authority as members of the First Congregational Church? I know I have. I carry the credibility of this place everywhere I go. And in my ministry, I wish for nothing more than to bring credibility to this place. Believing this is empowering. So when I go forth, I do so as a champion for God, as a champion for you, as a champion for the church. I am your advocate. I am your endorser. I am your emissary. And this is important. It's important today for us to be champions for the things that we believe in. Because we live in a time when it is so much easier to criticize than it is to endorse. We all have an opinion, but for some reason, we seem to be much more comfortable sharing our negative opinions than our positive ones. Oh, don't go there. That place is awful. Oh, don't read that. That book was terrible. Oh, no, no, don't go there. He doesn't preach very well. I decided the other day that I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to criticize just so that my opinion can be heard. In fact, I've decided that from now on, I am going to share my endorsement, not my criticism. I was driving back from the Mid-Cape Highway the other day, and I was on 149. I was so hungry. Been down in Wellfleet for a clergy meeting. These clergy, they love to meet for hours and hours and hours. I was so hungry. So I'm driving back, and I knew I shouldn't stop because it was almost dinner time, but I hadn't eaten anything all day. And I drove by this little market. I've driven by this market at least 30 times. On the back of the market, there's this sign, and it says, Burrito Loco. I was in the mood for a crazy burrito. It made sense. So I stopped at the market. I didn't have very high expectations. I kind of figured I'd wander into the back and there'd be some gringo who would make me up a little taco or something. But when I got to the back of the market, there was a Mexican man back there. A real live Mexican man. And he was making real, live, authentic Mexican food. And so I ordered 3 tacos. And I watched him prepare these tacos. And before I'd even tasted them, I wanted to be an advocate for this man. I wanted to endorse him. I told him, I will come here every day. Not very realistic, but I wanted him to know how enthusiastic I was about these tacos. So he told me, if you like them, share the news. Tell people. Got in my car, I began to drive and eat. Those tacos were so good. When I was finished, I was sitting back, well, I was driving still, so I wasn't, my eyes were wide open, don't get me wrong. Driving down the road, and I'm not thinking about anything, not consciously thinking about anything, when all of a sudden these words left my mouth. Those were the best tacos I have ever had. I did not consciously say those words. That was my body speaking. Those were the best tacos I have ever had. Go to Burrito Loco. You will not be disappointed. And when you go, you tell them, you tell that Mexican man that you heard about Burrito Loco from your pastor, who is a champion, an advocate, a booster of authentic Mexican food. Now, in my situation, I got to try the tacos. They were delicious. So it's easy for me to be an advocate. But the centurion, he never actually meets Jesus Christ at all. He never speaks to him. And so, for this reason, this request that comes from the centurion, save my slave, my beloved slave, this request for healing, it's like a prayer that makes its way to Jesus through other people. The prayer is mediated, it's carried, it's passed along through other people. And so I believe that this story implies that Jesus will hear our prayers, all of us, whether we are faithful, whether we are Jews or Gentiles. Jesus will hear our prayers, even if they don't come directly from us. Even if those prayers are carried by other people. I hope that that encourages you. I hope you are encouraged to hear that Jesus and the Lord will hear your prayers. that Jesus and the Lord will respond to your requests. I hope you hear that and it makes you feel that praying for other people and having other people pray for you is worthwhile and effective. So who has commissioned you? Who has called upon you to advocate on his or her behalf? When we pray for someone, we are endorsing that person. We are endorsing that person's need to God. We are offering the credibility of our faith. And in response, God offers us and the people we are praying for the credibility of God's love. Together, we become incredible. Unlike the Jewish emissaries he commissions to speak on his behalf, the centurion's faith in Jesus is not built on a foundation of experience or culture. It's not built on anything. It's blind faith. It's pure faith. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. Like a child blowing out candles and making a wish, the centurion believes in Jesus so much that his belief alone will make Jesus come true. It doesn't hurt that this centurion is presented as a rather righteous dude. He's an all-around good guy. He's well regarded by the Romans, so much so that he has been given authority over 100 soldiers. He's well regarded by the Jewish people, having generously paid for this building, a synagogue, so they would have a place to worship. And yes, it's true, the centurion was a slave owner, but he loved his slaves, and he cared for them. And for the sake of one of his slaves, he was willing to humble himself before a Jewish prophet. He sent friends and servants to plead for a miracle, to plead for the life of his friend. Even though he has not met Jesus, because of what he has heard, he has faith that Jesus can help. He respectfully defers to Jewish sensitivities about entering a Gentile's house, and although he is a man of position and power, he does not want Jesus to be troubled by his problems. And so, seen in this light, the centurion is an example of faithlessness he's an example of faithfulness among the faithless. The centurion was a powerful figure. He was the commander of a military unit of 100 soldiers with all of the authority of Herod and Rome behind him. And with such authority, I'm sure he was accustomed to doing things by simple command. He ordered soldiers and servants, and his instructions were carried out without question or hesitation. This understanding of power serves as a foil to set forth the greater power of Jesus' word. Jesus' word transcends the limits of human authority and power. Jesus' word commands the storm. Jesus' word commands water to become wine, bread to become flesh, wine to become a promise. Jesus' word commands disease and death itself. And what is so amazing is that Jesus has been commissioned as an advocate for you, as an endorser of you, as a champion for you. Jesus' word gives credibility to all of us. And that word is love. This is the good news. Selah.